Today is February 21st, 2021, the first Sunday of Lent, the six-week period of preparation before Easter. The coronavirus continues to be active in our communities, so we do not worship together in person at the church, but offer this recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. We come to worship our God, whose words and ways challenge us. God invites us to lose our selfishness, to find ourselves. God calls us to be fools in the world, to show forth the wisdom of Christ. God urges us to empty ourselves, to discover life's fullness. God bids us to be obedient to a divine will, so we might know true freedom. Let us worship our God, seeking to have our spirits nourished and our faith challenged into growth. Let's pray together. On this journey of life, O God, be our companion, be our guide. Show us where to go. Wherever we are on the journey from birth to death, grant us your peace. We thank you for each other, our companions in the journey of faith. We pray for those with whom we travel. Bring us together to a new world of peace through Jesus Christ, who lived and died that all might be one. We ask this in his name, and now pray as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to listen and or join in singing the hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Calling the 12 to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This concludes the reading of God's holy word for today. May we be blessed through its reading, hearing, and understanding. Let's pray together. Holy God, we praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, Newsweek magazine published a small article entitled, "The Toughest Job in the World," a reference to making decisions. It is also an appropriate description of Christian discipleship, and I share it with you, replacing the words making decisions with being a disciple. The adapted version reads, "It can be more fatiguing than a day of stone cutting. It can be more nerve-wracking than a day of heart surgery. It can bring success, happiness, life, or failure, unhappiness, death. In today's security-conscious society, it's a job fewer people want to tackle. It's not for the faint-hearted who are afraid to fail. It's not for the reckless who can be dangerous. It invites ridicule, criticism, and unpopularity. But without it, the world stands still. It is the lonely, ulcerous, precarious job of being a disciple. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ wasn't any easier in the first century than it is in the 21st. From the words of Jesus in our scripture lesson today, we can find guidance and empowerment as we seek to fulfill our mission in the world as his disciples. The first characteristic of a disciple is that each is called by Jesus. In the first two chapters of Mark's gospel, we read where Jesus said, "Follow me," and fishermen, a tax collector, and others quit their jobs to follow Jesus. For many months, the 12 followed Jesus from place to place and marveled at the mighty healing deeds he performed. They heard his call to the multitudes to draw close to the Heavenly Father. They listened to the words that had never been spoken with such power before. They also saw those occasions when response to Jesus was hindered by unbelief. But they were always in his presence when great things were done. In today's text, it was now time for them to learn that his work could be extended through them. Up to this time, the predominant word of Jesus had been, "Come." Now he injects another verb, one that places responsibility on the shoulders of the followers. They are to go. When we stop and think about it, there could have been no going unless they had come and learned of him and from him. It is still the case today. We are also called to come and see with the expectation that after we have observed and experienced Christ, we may go and tell others of that experience. Jesus gives his followers authority over unclean spirits. The disciples do not go out under their own authority, but as representatives of Jesus. When we minister in Christ's name, our mission to others is not conducted under our own authority, for we too are empowered and sent by Christ. We are the Lord's ambassadors. Jesus does not send his disciples alone, flying solo. Following the Jewish practice, they go two by two. If you ever attended camp, you may recall the buddy system while swimming. Every swimmer had to have a partner. From time to time, the lifeguard blew his or her whistle, and everybody found their buddy, joined hands, and held them up in the air, showing that nobody was getting lost or was in trouble in the water. Jesus gave his first disciples a buddy system. We find the first example in today's scripture. He didn't send them out one at a time, but in pairs, two at a time. That way, if one of them got discouraged or ran into a lot of complaints or trouble with people they would talk to, the buddy could encourage them so they would not give up and quit. Jesus directs his disciples that they are to serve together. We are not sent on a mission as God's lone rangers to the world. Our ministry requires community with others. I remember reading about the instructions given to a large delivery service. The United Parcel Service takes pride in the productivity of its delivery personnel. On average, a UPS driver delivers over 400 packages every working day. The company gets such high productivity by micromanaging the details of a deliverer's routine. Writing in the Wall Street Journal, Robert Frank said, "With a battalion of more than 3,000 industrial engineers, the company dictates every task for employees. Drivers must step from their trucks with their right foot, fold their money face up, and carry packages under their left arm. UPS tells drivers how fast to walk, how many packages to pick up and deliver a day, even how to hold their keys. Those considered slow are accompanied by supervisors who cajole and prod them with stopwatches. This approach may work well in the package delivery business, but it is a complete failure in the spiritual business. When spiritual leaders imitate industrial engineers, controlling every movement of their followers, it leads to legalism and bondage. The Christian life, on the other hand, is engineered by God as a life of freedom in the Spirit." And this leads to the second characteristic of a disciple, that we are instructed, or put more strongly, we are ordered or charged by Jesus. In comparison to the strict requirements of the UPS, the first disciples were charged to maintain a simple lifestyle, traveling unpretentiously and accepting hospitality. They were to take nothing except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. They were to just wear sandals and not put on two shirts. In other words, they were to travel light. This may indicate that the journey was not going to be a long one. But some commentators suggest it was a habit of rabbis and religious leaders to take a bag with them to collect subscriptions for their services. They would go from village to village and many times come back with overflowing bags of money. It was as if they were saying, "It will cost you to receive my learning and help." Jesus is charging his followers to go and give. not get. That is still the intent of Christ's disciples in the Christian church today. Like those early disciples, we are not to be encumbered with that which will prevent us from genuinely doing Christ's work in a waiting world. Jesus also instructs the 12 to handle rejection with integrity and dignity. He knew that they would go to places where they would not be received well. He had experienced that. Nazareth's rejection was fresh in his mind, but he knew and had experienced the truth that one rejection does not mean defeat. Shaking dust off our feet is a call to put the defeat behind us and go on. That is still the call of the follower of Jesus today. We will not always be successful in our adventuring for him, but we must move on. Try again, for there are yet many who await the saving power of Jesus that we have the privilege of sharing when we go out two by two. The third characteristic of a disciple that is illustrated in today's scripture is obedience. Authentic discipleship is characterized by willing obedience to the commands of Jesus. The 12 were immediately obedient to the instructions they received from Jesus. Their mission work is marked by service to the needs of the whole person. Religious needs, they proclaimed repentance. Mental and emotional needs, they cast out many demons. And they also met physical needs when they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. As Jesus' disciples in today's world, our mission should also exhibit such a holistic concern for people. The Lord's directions for disciples are clear. The question is whether we will choose to obey. In General Patton's Principles for Life and Leadership, General George S. Patton, Jr. wrote these words: "Picking the right leader is the most important task of any commander. I line up the candidates and say, 'Men, I want a trench dug behind warehouse 10. Make this trench 8 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 6 inches deep.' While the candidates are checking their tools out at the warehouse, I watch them from a distance. They puzzle over why I want such a shallow trench. They argue over whether 6 inches is deep enough for a gun emplacement. Some complain that such a trench should be dug with power equipment. Others gripe that it is too hot or too cold to dig. If the men are above the rank of lieutenant, there will be complaints that they should not be doing such lowly labor. Finally, one man will order, 'What difference does it make what he wants to do with this trench? Let's get it dug and get out of here.'" Patton continues, "That person will get the promotion. Pick the one who can get the job done." God also is looking for people to whom he can give authority and responsibility. Like Patton, God gives people jobs and watches to see how they respond. Most of all, God is looking for obedience and faithfulness in his disciples. The first followers of Jesus tried their best to be obedient and faithful. During the remainder of Lent, the messages will focus on various disciples of Jesus and the personality traits that helped and hindered their faithfulness. As we journey through Lent, may we once again obediently hear and accept Jesus' call and challenge to be his disciples. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we so often try relying on ourselves instead of you in times of trouble, but you are the source of our strength. Embrace those who suffer from illness of mind, body, or spirit with your strength and healing presence. Comfort and encourage those who grieve. Help resolve the conflicts in our lives with family, co-workers, and neighbors. Our deepest longing is to follow you, and yet we fail to live as you command. Help us not to hide from conflict, but allow it to shape us so that we might truly become more faithful disciples and follow you and share your love with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to listen to and or join in singing the hymn, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. This time of worship. May you go into the world in faith, trusting God to lead you, trusting people to receive you. Go into the world with hope, with God's presence before you and human dreams to carry you. Go into the world with love, serving with those in whom Christ lives and laboring for those for whom Christ died. Go in faith, hope, and love. Amen.